Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, family in Christ. Well, this is the week we are kicking things off in our brand new studio. And this set is amazing, as you can see behind me. That's massive LED wall. It's pretty warm, by the way, in my back. But I want to show you, before I bring in John Haller, today's guest, I want to show you some pictures of 8 and 10 years ago, roughly, when we used to do it in a little office space we made into a makeshift studio. There we go. If you can see what's behind me, just a basic little screen. And now those are the computers, and that's what they used to control things back then. Then we added a few more screens. So it started growing a little bit. And there we go. That was 8 years ago, my goodness. And now I want to bring it back here, Jeff. And if you can just pan a little bit, you know, quickly, you can just give everybody an idea of what we're sitting in now, or what I'm doing. This is just amazing to me. And this has been years in the making, by the way, the studio space. Five cameras. How many, Jeff, how many LED walls do we have and screens in here? Three major walls, and there's 5 screens, 5 cameras. Anyway, let's bring in our guest, John Haller. He's back with us. We're going to go around the world and cover as much as we can in the short time we have. Brother, thanks for your time today.
I'm going to come back up there, and I'm going to I'll bring the wings and soda for the Super Bowl watch party.
Oh, that's funny. Why, you think Packers and Bengals will be in the Super Bowl? Or?
No, I'm not a Bengals fan. I'm a Steelers fan, actually.
Okay.
The Immaculate Reception and all of that was in my formative years as a Steeler fan. And but I don't know that either one of them are going to make it, especially since we had that Packer cast off trying to be the quarterback for the Steelers this year.
Yeah, so. we'll see. It'll be an interesting year. But we would love to have you in studio. We'll have to do a couple episodes live. It would be fun. This place is amazing. What we just showed didn't do it justice. But John, let's talk about something very serious, and that would be we can simply call it Jew hatred. Some people call it anti-Semitism. Again, I think a lot of people in America or North America, maybe let's just say America, were surprised and even shocked by the levels of anti-Semitism that were revealed after October 7, 2 years ago, particularly on college campuses. It has infested and infected American media, universities, Hollywood, corporations, and education, and here we are. So I do want to talk about the some real photos of actual hostages, and starvation is what Hamas is doing to some Israeli hostages. But where do you want to start before we dive into this?
Well, I think if we go back to October 7th, that's kind of interesting. I remember waking up that day about 1 a.m. as things started to unfold. And it's interesting, they've now gone back into the various pro-Palestinian groups, and they've found that in chats with various of these pro-Palestinian groups in the United States, they were already making plans for protest before that morning. They were talking about protests before the attack started in Gaza, from Gaza.
Wow.
They knew. And it's interesting. I was researching this yesterday. I was not able to come to any conclusions, but how long did it take for them to come up with the narrative of genocide, that what's going on in Gaza is a genocide? Now, you know, we usually think in terms of what does the word actually mean. First of all, this does not meet the definition of genocide under any of the conventions. But what do? They go to the ICC, the International Criminal Court. They go with that lunatic lady, Francesca Albanese, the Italian lady who's the UN Human Rights Council or whatever, special rapporteur on Gaza. And she's just an absolute hater of Jews. And so there's this whole apparatus that's been designed. And a lot of this goes back to 1948 and the Israeli War of Independence. And by the way, the New York Times headline the day after that war started said that the Arabs invade Palestine. Now, there was no Palestine, but that's what they called the area. And there were no Palestinians at that time. There were Arabs who lived there, but they became Palestinians in 1964 as part of Russian propaganda. So this has a longstanding history of anti-Jewish conduct. But the interesting thing is they've been claiming, as long as I can remember, that Israel's committing a genocide in the Arab areas in Judea and Samaria, often called the West Bank, and in Gaza. But if go back and look what the population of Gaza was back in 2005, when Israel evacuated, pulled every single Jew dead and alive out of Gaza. And what do you mean dead and alive? Yeah, they dug up the graves and brought the bodies out of Gaza. Gaza was completely, as they would say, Judenrein. It was Jew-free. The population then was in the mid-hundreds of thousands. When this war started in October of 2023, the population of Gaza was about 2.2 million. Now, if you're committing a genocide, how do you go from a population of, let's say, 700,000 to 2.2 million in 20 years? You are clearly the most ineffective, inefficient, and incompetent genocide committers of genocide in human history.
So it doesn't add up. And see, this is what people are defending.
By the way, can I say one other thing? I know I'm interrupting you.
That's all right.
But this is an important point. Since October of 2023, when this war started, 50,000 babies have been born in Gaza. Think
about
it. Doesn't
seem like it could be that.
I brought that up in a forum. You know what somebody said? Wow, the Jews really rape a lot of people, don't they?
Jeez.
I mean, right. I'm telling you, this is, and so the genocide thing started pretty early on. And I saw a good interview with the great Melanie Phillips the other day, who's got a book out about sort of Christian Jewish religious thought and how this is like the solution. I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head. What she was saying is, you know, the one thing we've seen is that they completely try to demonize the Jews and they want to wipe them out of existence. This is biblical. This is what Psalm 83 talks about. Come, let us conspire against these people so that the name Israel will be remembered no more. But the best picture of it is these people going through New York. You've seen the videos, I'm sure, of protesters going up to places where they've posted the pictures of the hostages. And they're literally digging them off of the wall with their fingernails in a desperate attempt to completely erase them from memory. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. You said that's America, right? That was in New York. So
yeah, that's in America.
Yep. So the media, John, as we've talked about quite a bit, is complicit in a lot of this. And I don't know why, but this is just, it's a spiritual battle. That's why. Here's why. Because driving this, it's demonic. It's demonic. It is satanic. Driving this, it's a spiritual dimension because Satan hates, first of all, children of God, but he hates Jews, God's chosen people, and Satan hates Christians. So the topic happens to be this battle that we're seeing that seems to be irrational. Some of their thinking they're against the Jews is irrational, but that's part of it. For example, Olivier Melnick's definition of anti-Semitism, the irrational and satanic hatred of the Jews in thoughts, words, and deeds. So let's go to real quick. I don't want to forget this, that we have this over at Front Page Magazine what a real hostage and real hunger look like. And John, I'll let you just share whatever you'd like about this, because the media won't show this, but they'll show a fake picture of a child with some sort of genetic disorder or disease, and they'll say that Israel, the Jews, are starving him, and that was fake, that was false, but they put it out there. So John, talk about this one right here.
Yeah, so I will confess that I subscribe to the New York Times. I sort of follow the Cal Thomas approach. Cal said he would get up every morning with his coffee and he would read the Bible to find out what God wanted, what God's agenda was. And he would read the New York Times and Washington Post to find out the other side's agenda.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there were a couple of weeks ago, there was a very famous photograph. It was everywhere, front page, all over the world, of a mother holding a very skinny, thin child. Mm-hmm. And as people investigated that, they found out that the child was not starved, because when you got the full photograph that wasn't cropped, the child's normal looking sibling was standing there. The mother looked normal. She didn't look like she was starving. Other people around did not look like they were starving. The child had a genetic disease, but it was put on the front page of the New York Times above the fold.
Yep.
That New York Times picture and article has been viewed in excess of 70 million times around the world. The New York Times then later, once the news came out that this child had a genetic disease or some disease that was causing him to look like this, they put up a retraction on sort of a out of the way X thing where they put these retractions that was seen by less than 60,000 people. So the fake news got 60, 70 million views. The correction got less than 60,000.
Okay, say that again. That's very important for people to understand what the media gets away with.
Front page of the New York Times, above the fold. I think it was on a Sunday, a week ago Sunday. This mother holding the child, yeah. And the child was very thin, sickly, obviously. And this was put up as proof of starvation, famine in Gaza.
Fake news.
It was fake news. And that got 60, 70 million views, like by the last count I heard. And the retraction that they put up, which was, well, we may have made a mistake, got about 60,000 views.
Yeah, so there's the original. They were claiming that that child was starved by the Jews in Gaza, and it's fake. Not true, but this is how irresponsible our media is.
So this is a big problem. And so there's these allegations of starvation. There's been, I don't know how many millions and millions, hundreds of millions of meals and food and everything brought into Gaza. But it's clear, even the UN came out and admitted the other day that about 90% of all the trucks that are sent in there with aid are hijacked by Hamas. Hamas then keeps this stuff in warehouses and sells it to the people that are supporting it.
Oh, my goodness.
And they use the money that they raise to support their operations. So this is a complete, total scam. Yeah. You know, the only refugee status in the world that can be inherited is Palestinian refugee status. Many years ago, I sat at a Christ at the Checkpoint conference with a doctor from Gaza. And by all accounts, I think I verified this. Three of his daughters and a couple nieces were killed in an explosion in Gaza. Very tragic. But what we don't know is, was it an Israeli missile that was trying to get a terrorist who was embedded in a residential area? Or was it a Hamas rocket that fell short? Because, you know, 40% of them never make it out of Gaza. And so, and I talked to them, though, and I talked to him about the refugee problem, because I've been in Israel. I've been to Nablus, and there's a big refugee camp there. It's a hotbed of terrorism. You see them all over Israel. And I've been in Jordan. I've seen refugee camps in Jordan, and they look the same. And I said, now, wait a minute. You have a refugee camp of Arabs in Israel, But you have a refugee camp of Arabs in Jordan. And then you have another one. It was just in the news last week, Yarmouk in Damascus, which was just devastated during the Syrian civil war. And it was one of the most densely populated people. And I said, why do you have Syrian refugee camps in Arab countries? And his response was, because of the occupation. And I'm like, Israel's not occupying anything except a big space in your mind. And he's a very smart guy. I mean, he was very engaging. We had a talk over dinner one night. But he's totally duped. And so there's so many things to say about this.
Well, John, there's allegations from the
International Criminal Court that it's genocide. But even the head of the International Criminal Court says, no, that's, we've never ruled that way. But nobody ever quotes her.
Right, right. So we've got to take a brief pause. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about this on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Okay, I didn't want to gloss over that first article we brought up from Front Page Magazine. So, Jeff, if you could please bring that back up and show this story. It says he may not still be alive. That's the subheading there. This is an actual hostage. This is an Israeli being held in these horrific conditions. And he's crossing off days on a makeshift calendar. John, speak to this for a moment, and then we'll go to the next one.
Sure. The estimates are that that man who's been there now for 600 and actually on Tish B'Av, that was the 666th day of the Israel-Gaza war.
Oof.
But by that point in time, he was estimated to have lost, I think it was 60 or 70% of his body weight from when he was taken captive. And we know when some of these hostages came out, were released a few months ago, they look like people that were walking out of Auschwitz. We've seen the pictures of Auschwitz and other death camps in Europe as the American and other allies liberated those death camps. And we see the people who were there that were just, if you've ever been to Yad Vashem in Israel, you know that this is just, it's one of the heaviest, mentally crushing places you can ever go, and everybody needs to go there when you're in Israel. But so this guy's lost a lot of weight. There were videos put up of him having to dig his own grave.
Yep.
And that's what he said. And he's starving. And now the word that I'm hearing coming out of from sources in Israel is that the concern is that what's going to happen now is Israel's trying to make a decision as to whether they enlarge the war in Gaza or not. And I can tell you that they have found that on October 7th, the people that came across, probably less than a third of them were Hamas. The rest were Palestinian Arabs. And what they've found, the soldiers have found, as they've gone through Gaza, they have found in at least every other home and every place that they've gone throughout the Gaza Strip, which is probably 40 miles north to south and 5 to 8 miles wide. I've been right down on the border myself. It's not a big place, but every other home has a picture of the Dome of the Rock and some kind of poster about finishing the job, getting rid of the Jews. And so the question becomes with Israel, it's a very hot button issue in Israel right now. There's a lot of people there that says we have to do everything. We need to end the war and bring the hostages home. Doing it that way will not end the war. Any rational, thoughtful human being knows that this is not going to happen. And we need to understand in the West, the followers of this religion do not think the way that we do. And they think, you know, we are worried. So, for example, I'm a little concerned with President Trump, who seems to be sort of following the Chamberlain methodology of pre-World War II of appeasing people who are aggressors in wars with land. Hmm. I do not think that we know historically that this never works out. It never works out. And so there's a lot of pressure on Bibi Netanyahu right now, a lot of turmoil in Israel, and you have essentially a battle going on between the IDF leadership and Bibi Netanyahu. Now, we can criticize Netanyahu and everything, but remember, it was the IDF leadership that had a failure, what they call a failure of concepcion. They had a failure of conceiving what was going to happen if things in Gaza ever cut loose. And they weren't prepared. They were not ready for this. And they were allowing 18 to 22,000 people would come across the Gaza border every day to work in Israel. They worked in the kibbutzim. And what they were doing was they were gathering data and intelligence that was fed to Hamas. And Hamas knew every place there was a safe room in these homes. And I've been in these kibbutzim. Every home has a safe room. You go out to the rec area, for example, at Niram, and you're standing a kilometer from the Gaza border fence. That's how close you are.
Wow.
And there was a complete failure. And so now everybody wants to talk about, what do we do the day after Hamas, the day after we're done with Hamas? And I'm like, it's got to be the day after you're done with the enemy. And so now the conception has to be, we have to, I don't know how to say this in a kind way or what you would call a Christian way, but what do you, maybe it's time to end the hostages' suffering.
Hmm.
I mean, look at that man in that picture in that article that you put up.
Yeah.
That man is suffering. He's being tortured. They're talking about they get a small moldy piece of pita bread every other day.
Yeah.
They don't get water every day. They are allowed to bathe every 3 months in dirty water. They're mm-hmm. collecting their own urine to bathe in. And so I don't want anything to hear. So, you know, on the right in the United States, and I'm talking about the mega right, the Tucker Carlson, or what we would say, Huckster Katarlson, are completely anti-Israel. I'll give you some examples. So Tucker did an interview with Ted Cruz a couple months ago, at the end of June, and he attacked Cruz's claim that the Bible says we should support Israel. And he was like, well, who are the Bible that I read? I mean, really, what are you reading, Ted? And
that's pretty good,
since
John.
That, and he says, I'm not obsessed with Israel.
Uh-oh.
Since that time, I just sent you the X post that was
Jeff,
up today.
Put that up. We've got receipts on if Tucker Carlson is obsessed with Israel. Look at that.
In less than 10 weeks, he has mentioned Israel 800 times. So the question ought to be asked is, so we ought to go through and do, and I praise the Lord for the people who torture themselves to listen to all of this garbage.
Oh, gosh.
But so this is the hypocrisy. And Candace Owens is the same.
Yeah.
Candace has been going off on these anti-Jew, anti-Israel rants that are just unbelievable. I think the kind thing would be to say that she's doing it for the money. But
so John,
I think maybe she's totally lost her mind. Tucker in his programs, 58 programs in his new platform, 34 of them have had anti-Israel content.
Both of these individuals say they're Christian. I think maybe Tucker's Episcopal or whatever, but obviously they don't have a proper biblical worldview when it comes to Israel. Can you explain that? What are your thoughts on that in the last 2 minutes here that we have?
Sure. Well, Candace is a recent convert to Catholicism, and Catholicism has had a Jewish problem.
That's right.
A great Jewish problem. And Tucker just recently interviewed the sister of George Stephanopoulos, who has been a Russian Orthodox nun in Israel, and she just spouts these lies. But she even admits in the interview with Tucker that you should go watch it, but she even admits that we really can't share the gospel in the Palestinian areas. And they blame Israel for the decline in Christians, but the number of Christians in Israel has grown over the years. And Bethlehem used to be 90% Christian. It's now less than 10% because of Muslim persecution. That's not Israel. She was trained in Russia, went to school in Russia. She's been trained in Russian anti-Israel, anti-Jew propaganda. She's not to be believed. And so the thing I think that we should end with, David, is the hypocrisy. So you see them attack Israel all the time, but how often do they do anything to protest the slaughter of 850,000 people over the past number of years in Yemen, the hundreds of thousands in Sudan, the almost million in Syria, the Turkey getting rid of the Kurds, all under the name of Islam?
Yep.
I'm telling you, the hypocrisy, I think what's the saying is, if hypocrisy was water, the world would drown.
Yeah, it's a dangerous place right now. And we have to remember, they're not just after the Jews. Christians are next. There's already increasing violence against Christians around the world. That's part of that red-green axis that Trevor Loudon and others talk about. But John, it always goes by too fast with you. We'll have to do two episodes next time again. Anyway, thanks, brother. God bless.
Thanks. Congrats on the new studio.
Thanks. Well, guys, there's so much more to talk about, a lot of important issues, but we will keep it going as much as possible. And just thanks for your prayers and support. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.